This is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Now, the second report in our series on punishment and parole in Alabama.
Good morning. Welcome to the parole board hearing. We're looking at the hearing of Lewis Downs.
The Alabama Board of Pardons and Paroles heard the case of Lewis Downs on a Monday. The board starts each week with the most violent crimes on the docket, and Lewis Downs is a convicted killer.
Hearings are informal, and at this time the board would be interested in hearing from both sides as to why Lewis Downs should or should not be placed on parole.
Downs is almost 73. He started serving a 20-year sentence for murder in 1992. In January, at the time of his parole hearing, he was living at home on a leave program. So, unlike most inmates up for parole in Alabama, he was free to travel to Montgomery, the state capital, and speak at his own hearing. A compact man with close-cropped white hair and a pink complexion, the convicted killer was brief.
I'm Lewis Downs, and I would appreciate any consideration you might give me here today. My wife is in bad health, and I need to be at home to take care of her. And she's 77 years old. She's lived alone while I've been incarcerated. And I think while I've been incarcerated, that my record speaks for itself.
If you have not judged 1,000 murderers, studied their files, heard the pleas of their families, you might think this is an easy call. After 3.5 years of a 20-year sentence, parole sounds premature. But the case of Lewis Downs reveals how confused our interests in justice and punishment really are. In Alabama, the parole board has the thankless task of sorting out that confusion. Like all their cases, this one starts with a crime.
The white fence up on our left is where the shooting occurred.
Mike Blakely is sheriff of Limestone County, a patch of northern Alabama where cotton is still king and where the old families all know each other. Lewis Downs, born in 1923, lived here all his life. Like his younger neighbor, 42-year-old Nathan Shores, he was neither rich nor poor. He planted wheat and soybeans on one part of his land, and he ran cows across the road on the other.
Where Nathan Shores lived. This brick house with the little red barn behind it is where Mr. Downs lived.
Sheriff Blakely remembers the day in 1990 when Lewis Downs murdered Nathan Shores.
Well, on June the 9th, approximately 8:30 a.m., we received a call that Nathan had been shot. I was the first officer that arrived at the scene. The ambulance pulled up about the same time that I arrived. Nathan was lying on the ground on the pavement next to his mailbox there in his driveway.
This murder was no mystery to the sheriff. Lewis Downs' land straddled the farm owned by the Shores family, and before there was a murder, there was a feud. The two neighbors had argued over fences and driveways, over the time their bulls got into a fight, and Nathan Shores fired a shotgun full of rock salt at the two animals. The Shores family knew that had made the old man angry. And then it got worse. Nathan Shores, the younger man, started taunting Lewis Downs with obscene epithets and gestures.
Originally, Mr. Downs had the deceased, Nathan Shores, arrested. I think one Sunday morning they had mooned he and his wife on the way to church. When I say mooned, standing in his front yard, had been over and dropped his britches, and because of there'd been some harassment, Mr. Downs had reported on several occasions, and not only Mr. Downs but other members of his family, that Nathan had been harassing them. A lot of the problem would have gone away if Mr. Downs had ignored it.
Even though Downs took Shores to court and won, the harassment didn't stop. Sheriff Blakely says it was eating away at Lewis Downs, and he warned Nathan Shores to cut it out. Someone's going to get hurt, the sheriff recalls telling him. On June 9th, 1990, as Lewis Downs would later tell a Limestone County courtroom, Nathan Shores came up Parker Road on his tractor, passed Downs, who was working nearby with a weed eater, and uttered an obscenity that Downs, a deacon of the church, only repeated in court after first apologizing. When Shores pulled the tractor into his driveway, Lewis Downs went to his truck, got his .38 revolver, and put it in his pocket. Then Shores came back down the driveway to his mailbox. Downs crossed the road to confront him. He testified, "I asked him how come he called me them names, and he said that Shores came at him to within a foot with an awful expression on his face and his fists clenched, gritting his teeth, and Shores said, 'What are you going to do about it?'"
Mr. Downs shot him. Mr. Downs indicated he did not have any fear of his life. He wasn't scared of Nathan. He didn't feel like he was going to harm him, so it was clearly not a case of self-defense, but it was a situation where someone had taken the harassment for a period of 2 or more years and had just got fed up. And, you know, I really believe that morning he got up deciding that today we're going to put a stop to this one way or the other.
Lewis Downs was tried in Athens, Alabama, where the trains to and from Tennessee seem to run all day long, and where the Limestone County Courthouse stands at the center of town, across the street from the Presbyterian Church. The man who sentenced the elderly farmer and solid citizen to 20 years was veteran circuit judge Henry Blizzard. Judge Blizzard was concerned with Lewis Downs' crime, not his character.
It's still a murder case, regardless of the merits of the individual. Each person, whether we're good or bad, has to pay the penalty that the law prescribes. And it doesn't. The law does not say that bad people serve time for murder and good people don't. It says that we all serve time for murder.
It wasn't much of a trial. On the witness stand, Lewis Downs admitted to the killing. Despite what he had told the sheriff on the day of the crime, his lawyer tried to argue that it was self-defense and wanted to introduce evidence of Nathan Shores' violent and abusive ways. But Judge Blizzard wouldn't hear of it, and he was upheld on appeal. The issue, he told the court, is whether you could shoot an unarmed man in self-defense. Judge Blizzard concluded that the law says you can't, and that meant that evidence of the victim's prior behavior was inadmissible. When Judge Henry Blizzard issued the 20-year sentence, he did so knowing that Lewis Downs would be eligible for parole.
I think it's much more difficult to sentence in this environment that we have now, where the sentence is basically what the parole board wants it to be.
I'm wondering, if you had sentenced Lewis Downs knowing that the number of years that you sentenced him to would have been the actual time that he would serve in prison, how many years do you really think would have been the sentence you would have issued?
Well, I can't say what I would have done in those circumstances, but I can say the sentence would certainly be a lot different. To sentence, when there is truth in sentencing and the sentence is being carried out, would be vastly, vastly different.
You would have sentenced less than 20 years under truth in sentencing.
Yes, given all the facts and circumstances of this case, the 20-year sentence is under our system, whatever the Pardon and Parole Board determines it's going to be. So it doesn't have as much significance, I think, as it appears to have on the surface.
The Alabama corrections system is bulging with prisoners and under economic pressure to let inmates out. Imagine the entrance into that system on July 6, 1992, of Lewis Downs, retired farmer then pushing 70 and church deacon. His rap sheet before the murder of Nathan Shores: one speeding ticket in 1968. On his left arm, the evidence of a rare moment of wild indulgence, a tattoo from his days in the service in Hawaii. And even that's an emblem of decorum. It says, "Mom and Dad, 1946. In less than a year and a half, Downs was placed in the Decatur Work Release Facility, not far from his home. Here, 246 inmates live in crowded barracks and commute to local jobs, paying a share of their income to the state. Downs drives them to and from their jobs in the work release van. The warden is Scott Sticker, who would not discuss the case of Lewis Downs with us, but he did talk about parole and about why it's necessary, even if many politicians say it's a form of coddling criminals.
They want to lock them up and throw away the key. That's what the public wants to hear. Okay, but obviously you can't lock up everybody and throw away the key and give them 10 years in a maximum or major facility. It's just financially inconceivable. It would cost the taxpayers a phenomenal amount of money to do that. So you got to have this progression. You got to have this stepping stone.
Lewis Downs was a natural candidate for this stepping stone work release, and not despite the fact that he was a murderer. Warden Sticker told us something we heard from sheriff, judge, and warden alike. murderers often make model prisoners.
My experience has been people who was there in the heat of passion took somebody's life. That's a moment in history they can't relive, and they wouldn't have done it if it hadn't have been during the heat of passion to start with, and it's not premeditated. And they're more remorseful than most of the other inmates. And those are the ones that cause you less problems than anybody. They're more trustworthy, and they'll do what they're supposed to do.
To have a chance of getting parole, an inmate had better have a positive recommendation from his warden. Warden Sticker wouldn't say what he recommended for Lewis Downs, but his actions speak louder than any words. He recommended Downs be placed in a program for inmates who are soon to be released or paroled. It's called PDL.
Pre-discretionary leave. And that's inmates who do an outstanding job, haven't caused any problems, and has a good institution to file, are considered for pre-discretionary leave. They've got a hold of job. They got curfews they have to attend at night. I think it's a 9 o'clock curfew. And they have to report back to the facility weekly.
But they're living?
They're living at home and staying there. And we do curfew checks. We call them at least once, maybe twice a week to check on the curfew.
So a well-behaved, convicted murderer is effectively sentenced to a curfew. This sort of punishment is certain to infuriate the victim's family. Warden Sticker knows that, but their anger is not his prime concern.
You got people's feelings of this guy did something to my family and I want him to be in prison forever. Okay, and then you got the guy sits over here and doesn't cause any problems, a model inmate. It shows everything and he's eligible for these programs. So what's the worst of the two evils? Should we continue to punish this guy? Should we continue to kick him while he's down? You know, you're not going to change the incident. So what is best for not only this individual, but the entire system?
This is not how the brothers of Nathan Shores saw it when they made the 3-hour drive from Limestone County to Montgomery for the parole hearing, and when, to their amazement, they saw their brother's murderer, Lewis Downs, at the hearing.
I'm Mark Shores. When somebody does what Mr. Downs done, first thing to do, the sheriff, lawyers, district attorney, everybody's going to come to you. They went to Mike, they went to Tim, they went to me. Boys, don't y'all go do what he done. Y'all be in more trouble than he is. Y'all let the law take care of it, the court system. That old man, he'll die in prison. He'll never get out of prison. And here he is after a year on work release, and now then he's on this other program where all he has to do is have a curfew. This is a joke.
The Shores family entered the hearing room of the Lurleen B. Wallace State Office Building from a special waiting room reserved for the victims. They took seats in the back row. Lewis Downs and his family entered from the main waiting room and sat in the front row. After Lewis Downs' brief statement, several of his relatives stepped up to the podium and spoke on his behalf.
My name is Steve Downs, and I'm Lewis's oldest son. I've known him for going on 43 years. I guess he's always been a good father. He's been a good provider. He's been a good Christian example for our family. When this event took place, he was served as a deacon in the church. In my heart, I feel like he's remorseful for what he's done, for not only what he's done concerning the victim's family, but what he's done for his own family as well. And we just appreciate any, thing y'all could do for him. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Horrell Downs. I'm Lewis Downs' wife. And I'm sure that Lewis will not be a threat to society because he is not a violent man. And he's needed at home. Of course, my health is not what it used to be. And whatever you all could do for him I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
After members of the Downs family made their case, several of the victim's relatives spoke against granting parole to Lewis Downs. Nathan Shores' brother Mark was bitter about Lewis Downs' regime of home leave with curfew.
You ain't seen him out there busting rocks. You ain't seen him on a chain gang. He's not only hurt his family, he's destroyed mine. My daddy's 75 years old. And I tell you, it's going to be hard for my daddy to go to Athens, go in Walmart, go to the bank, go wherever you go, and have to look at the man that killed his son walking down the street, a free man. It's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous to have to come down here and beg people to keep a murderer in prison. I hate that he done what he done, and I know he does too, and if he had it do over, I'm sure he wouldn't. But he done it, and he's got to pay. Thank you, sir.
My name is Monica Shores. I'm the daughter of Nathan Shores. I know the letters and the phone calls you get. My daddy was made out to be the worst man in Limestone County. I want you to know my daddy was a good man. He had a heart. He didn't want things for everyone in this family. And if they ask you, if you ask them and they told you different, they'd be doing nothing but lying. They have borrowed farm equipment from my daddy. Those Lewis Downs' grandkids have been swimming in our swimming pool. They've been to my mom's beauty shop. They were friends. But I will quote what Lewis Downs said on the stand at trial. Why didn't you kill Nathan Shores? Lewis Downs said, I was a little angry. This man got a little angry and he killed somebody. I'd hate to see him mad. For somebody to stand up here and say that he's a good citizen and a Christian is sick. A murderer is not a Christian. I know what a Christian is. And to me, somebody that is supposed to be a deacon in a church, they know you don't murder. They know it is a sin and God will punish you for murder. But you also should be punished here. Lewis Downs stands up here and says that his wife needs him at home. What do you think I needed? I was 13 years old. My brother was 17. I needed my daddy at home. I still need my daddy. I am 19 years old, and to this day, I still need my daddy. And I hope when you make your decision today, you would think about us.
Thank you.
The Downs case was one of more than 20 parole hearings before the board on a single Monday. For each, there are not only speeches from family members, but files full of reports and recommendations. On Thursday morning, the board would make its decision public. Before that, the members of the board talked with us about it, Chairman John Nettles and associate members Judith O'Connor and Louis Grimes. They are a diverse group of political appointees, Chairman Nettles a black minister, O'Connor a female career parole officer, Grimes a prosperous businessman. But on the question of whether they should seriously consider parole for a convicted murderer just 3.5 years into a 20-year sentence, they are all in agreement.
Looking at his past record shows this is the first altercation this man's had in 73 years with the law. If this man had had a history of having problems and this type of thing, I don't think we'd be considering it. But due to his past record and behavior in the community, community support, and the belief most likely on our part this man is It would not commit this type of thing again, you know, would be a lot of my thinking.
Yeah, I agree. And the mitigating circumstances. I mean, here again is a case where the victim has been harassing this man. That makes the circumstances different from what would be the norm.
What do you say to the victim's family, or indeed to anyone listening to this program who would say, but there was a trial. That was all settled at trial.
That is correct, but when judges in Alabama sentence, they sentence with the knowledge and understanding that there is a parole board that will be reviewing it. I used to work as a parole and probation officer, and the judges will sit there and calculate what to make their sentence. So by the time the parole board actually reviews on a normal basis, that person would have served what the judge wanted him to serve to begin with.
For this board to grant parole to Lewis Downs would mean doing so in the face of that very articulate, impassioned family, the Shores family, who turned out here to tell you that man should finish his days in prison. How does that influence your decision that you have heard that furious, impassioned family come to this room and tell you what they think?
I believe the hardest decision I personally have to make is trying to balance what's best, what I think is best for society, versus the feelings of these victims, and that is hard to do. If you don't think we get our stomachs tied in knots, you haven't been home with me. I mean, it'll tear you up, and it's very hard. But sometimes what's best for society is not the best for the individual victim.
The economics of incarceration argue for granting parole. By the parole board standards, Lewis Downs poses no threat, requires no rehabilitation, and even though at his trial he couldn't introduce evidence of prior harassment, the board members accept that Nathan Shores harassed him and contributed to his own murder. But the passionate pleas of the victims argue for denial of parole. Since Downs has not served half his sentence, parole requires a unanimous decision. Thursday morning.
Pardon and parole board. Okay.
Lorna Hayes, secretary to the parole board, has a list of the week's decisions when the telephone calls come in from the families of inmates and victims.
Pardon and parole board. Yes, sir. Lewis Downs was denied parole and reset for January of 97. You're welcome.
This time, the arguments of the Shores family prevail. Next year, there'll be another parole hearing, and the Shores will no doubt come back. Lewis Downs is still driving the work release van, but he's no longer living at home. The day after his parole was denied, he had to check back into the barracks. In July, 6 months before his next hearing, he's eligible again for the program that lets him live at home, and he is likely to be recommended for it. At some future hearing, Lewis Downs is almost certain to win parole, his 20-year sentence for murder notwithstanding.
Our pieces on murder, punishment, and parole in Alabama were produced by Margaret Lowe Smith, recorded and mixed by Andrea Jackson Gewurz.
You're listening to NPR's All Things Considered.